All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 84. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another episode. I'm back a little bit quicker with this one. You know, I didn't want to keep y'all waiting. You know, this ain't going to be a real long episode. Just want to kind of go back and talk about some different things, you know, going on currently in the sport of WMMA. You know, so I'm going to try to keep it under an hour this time. You know, I don't want to hold y'all up. But yeah, man, we had a good weekend. You know, this past weekend of fights, you know, good strawweight fight, good flyweight fight. So, you know, I want to go back and just talk about that in this episode a little bit, just some different angles, you know. Got Invicta FC coming up this weekend. So I just want to, you know, go, well, not this weekend, it's actually coming up tomorrow. By the time I'm recording this episode, it's probably already going to be out. So I'm going to try to get this one out a little bit earlier, you know. So, yeah, we got that going on. It's fight week again. You know, we got two good flyweight fights coming up. So, you know, I just want to, you know, go into those as well. And I want to talk about, you know, the strawweight division as a whole right now. You know, the strawweight division is definitely one of the best divisions for a reason. You, every time you think the flyweight division is catching up, you know, I think the strawweight division is just holding it down right now. You know, just got so much talent in that division, just so much going on, so many different options. You can't really have a bad fight. It's strawweight, honestly. I mean, you really got to reach. You really have to reach, right? So, yeah, man, last weekend was pretty good weekend of fights, like I said. Well, first off, let's say happy birthday to the Bullet on this episode. I know her birthday was yesterday, March 7th, at the time of this recording. But, yeah, you know, I talked about it in live stream. You know, just want to say happy birthday to the Bullet. As y'all know, she is 34 now. Valentina Shevchenko is 34. And, you know, she's still not missing a step. You know, she's still holding it down, still looks the same, still looks vibrant, you know, still athletic, still strong, still dedicated to the sport, still disciplined. Yeah, 34 years old, and she's been holding it down for a minute now in this division. The flyweight division is hers. I don't really see her, you know, slowing down anytime soon. Well, maybe slowing down, but losing, that's a different thing. I mean, she's the type of fighter, I think, even if she did slow down, if she was to slow down, like if lose her reflexes, she would be able to make up for it. You know, she's one of those cerebral fighters, and that's what you have to be. You know, the older you get, if you start to lose speed or reflexes, you have to make up for it. You know, you have to either become more defensive minded or know that you're going to be more stationary and learn how to move your upper body, right? Just small examples like that. You know, so I think Valentina Shevchenko, you know, she is one of those fighters that, you know, the older she gets, the better she gets with age, you know, because I think her mind state is just in another place. You know, it's always growing and it's just on another level. Like nobody in her division has shown any type of approach to the game like hers. Like, I don't want to say they haven't showed their dedication because there are some fighters that are working hard. They just don't have the secrets that she has in her training camp, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, I can't really even say it's secrets. You know, Valentina is just her. Like, she's the only one in her camp that fights like the Bullet, right? So, yeah, happy birthday to Valentina Shevchenko again. And also, two-year anniversary. You know, I talked about this in a live stream the other day. March 7, 2020 marks 2 years since Zhang Weili versus Joanna threw down. Man, that fight, you know, that fight definitely got to, you know, you got to give it its props. It was definitely one of the best fights in WMMA. It's definitely going to go down as, you know, one of my top five fights in WMMA history. You know, it definitely put the stamp on the sport, you know, not just for women's MMA, but for mixed martial arts, because that night, the co-main event for UFC 248 definitely showed up the main event. As y'all know, the main event was Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero. And like I said, I'd watched that fight with some casual fans, and you know, nobody really knew who the women were, of course, but by the end of the fight, you know, they were applauding. They were standing. They were like, yeah, great fight. These ladies really put it down. And they were actually arguing about who won the fight, right? So it definitely earned more fans to the game. You know, just your average man that just loves men fighting, they definitely love that fight. Because when we got to the main event that night, they were like, man, like, I want to watch the co-main event again. It was like, man, these two right here, what are they doing? By the second and third round, they weren't feeling the Izzy Yoel performance. I mean, I'm just being real. Nobody was feeling it like they were the co-main event that night. That's why I got to say, you know, shout out to Wei Li, shout out to Ioana. They put it down. It was a brutal fight. You know, it was skill for skill. It was blow for blow. You know, they traded at times. It was so back and forth. So back and forth that however the judges would have scored it, I wasn't really going to argue about it. Definitely couldn't have said this was a robbery either way, but however the fight was going to go, I was just happy we got a great fight, you know, because it paid off. You know, both fighters came to fight. They showed great heart. And again, they show, you know, determination in there. So to me, however it was going to play out, I enjoyed it. You know, I still watch it. You know, I still try to pop that thing in and watch it every time. And yeah, you know, I've done my round by round on it on this channel, you know, several times. You know, I just talked about it several times, you know, and broke it down. And it's always been close. Like, I've had Wei Li win it two times. I had it a draw once. I had Ioana win it once, right? Because when you go back and look at that second round, that's kind of like the one round where it can change up on you. Like, all the rounds were pretty much changing up on you, really. But it was just a great fight all around where it's all in what you favor at the time. Like, do you favor two hard power punches versus a quick flurry, you know, something like that? Do you prefer when somebody's walking somebody down and they're landing good leg kicks and power shots? Or do you prefer the person that's using the octagon to their advantage and still landing like head kicks and leg kicks and switching it up, you know? So all around was just one of those fights where you really can't pick a solid winner. You know, of course, Zhang Weili, she won, and that's how it should have been, you know, because to me, to beat the champion, you really got to be the champion. You got to beat him to get him out of there. But it was definitely fight of the night worthy. And like I said, definitely goes down as one of my favorite fights in MMA, period. You know, not just women, but in MMA history, period. I definitely put it up there. Will they run it back again? I don't know. I saw Ioana. She said happy anniversary to her fight. She posted that on her IG, or it was Facebook. And, you know, she tagged Wei Li and she was like, maybe, you know, I'm waiting so we can do it again. You know, she wants to run it back with her. You know, that's kind of been the talk. So will a rematch be just as exciting? I don't know. You know, because both fighters have changed since then, you know, for the good and for the better. And I do have that question like everybody else does. Like, did that fight take something out of him? You know, similar to Felix Trinidad versus Fernando Vargas. You know, that fight really took something out of Fernando Vargas that night. You know, and I think this fight here between Ioana and Wei Li really took something out of them because they went to war. You know what I mean? They really went to war and they both suffered damage in this fight. I remember there's that one round where the corner was like trying to carry Wei Li back to her, you know, seat, you know, corner people trying to carry her back to her seat. I was like, yo, like, these girls are really, they are really trading in there. Right. So yeah, man, happy anniversary. You know, it was a good fight. Great fight. You know, might do a round by round on one more day, you know, one more time again, because that's how good it was. Yeah. So moving on, last weekend, UFC 272, we had flyweight fight between Marina Moreau and Maria Agapova. And yeah, the fight pretty much went the way I felt it was going to go. Like I said, I was just trying to say decision because I was trying to say, I wasn't trying to put that juju on Agapova, but deep down, I was like, Moreau has the skills. She has the tools. And she knows this fighter that's standing opposite of her inside out. You know, she's the better fighter in the gym, you know, between her and Agapova. And if they train together, you know very well that Moreau was going to have fun in there. And that's what it is. Like, 2 years off or not, Moreau still looks sharp, you know, as far as her shape. You know, she's been looking good physically. And she just faced better competition. Overall, she's just faced better competition than Agapova. And, you know, I know everybody was so impressed by the Mazo stoppage, but Moreau is not Mazo. You know what I mean? And it showed that first round. That's why I like watching that first round, because Agapova was really in for something the way Moreau was able to keep the fight all the way from a distance away from the power shots and then strike her way in and get the fight to the ground or inside the way she wanted. Right. You know, that was smart fighting from Marina Moreau. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. It was like the main event, Colby Covington versus Jorge Masvidal. They train together. They're from the same gym. So it's just going to come down to who the better fighter is in that gym, in that camp. And it's going to come down to moments where they're just having fun in there and they're just kind of schooling their opponent, right? Matter of fact, shout out to Bluebird, one of my followers on YouTube, subscribers on YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, make sure you subscribe, Combo Breaker 99. Bluebird, he had commented this on one of my videos. He said, Agapova said in interviews that Marina usually did this sort of thing to her when they trained. Unfortunately, Agapova wasn't able to do anything about it. Agapova was only 24 years old. She looked like she was fighting her big sister. Pretty much, yeah, right? See? So that's just verification right there. You know, Agapova would get handled like this in the gym. You know, she would take her down, control her, and there was nothing she could do. And that right there should have told you that Agapova should have been working. You know, Agapova should have been working on that particular thing day in, day out. You know, her ground game, her takedown defense, her striking is fine. I think her striking is fine. You know, she's at a point where she doesn't really need to keep doing her stand up day in, day out. You have to take days, hours, months of just drilling on the ground and being taken down, you know, letting people try to take you down, slam you, take you down, you know, until you can figure out how to stay on your feet, how you can fight off your back, all of that. Right. You know, so Marina Moreau went in there, did what she was supposed to do, used all her tools. Like I said, she's definitely showcasing what I'm telling you about, a well-rounded fighter, somebody that can adjust. Moreau didn't want to strike with Agapova. She didn't want to make an even fight. That's why she took it to the ground. That's what a well-rounded fighter does. You don't just pick and choose necessarily what you want to do all the time. To be well-rounded, you have to be forced to fight or forced to adjust, right? That's how I see it. Like, yeah, well-rounded, you can do a little bit of everything, but are you really well-rounded whenever you have to do this? Like when you're forced to go to the ground, right? So shout out to Marina Moreau. She's back. Hopefully she is back. Like hopefully she can get in a couple more fights this year. I'd like to see her in Gatto or Aaron Blanchfield or even like Ariane Lipsky. That would be a good fight. Agapova. I would love to see her, like I said, go in, work on the ground game day in, day out. It's not over yet. People said like she's done. No, she's not done. Only 24 years old. Got a lot of room to grow. She's still a fighter. Likes to fight. I think, you know, she just needs to get with a better team that can help her with her wrestling and her jiu-jitsu as well, fighting off of her back. So, yeah. Good fight all around. Marina Rodriguez versus Yan Xianan. Not going to spend too much time on it. I already talked about it enough. Like I said, I watched the fight already like 4 or 5 times now, or like the second round 5 times. But the fight as a whole, I watched like 3, 4 times. And I still have Yan Xianan winning. Marina Rodriguez, to me, just did not, you know, do enough early on in this fight, you know, to really convince me that she was somebody that's a complete fighter. You know what I mean? Like I didn't see her adjust well in that first round. Like the speed was giving her problems. She was landing good singles here and there, but she kind of abandoned the jab. Like she never really used a good jab as timing and as a range finder. She let Yan Xianan get into a rhythm and back her up. You know, I didn't even see the front push kick from Rodriguez in this fight. So I couldn't really say this was a Marina Rodriguez's fight. You know, of course, the first round was Yan Xianan, and we all agree that the third round was Marina, but it's that second round as well. Like the second round just did not sit well with me and sit fair the way I could just say, a minute of activity for Rodriguez was enough to steal the round. Well, then again, key word is steal. That's why people say steal, because she did enough to take it in the eyes of the judges. So she did steal the round. But as far as like winning it, to me, I think Yan Xianan had a better pacing in that. Because mark my words, if Rose was doing the same thing, they would have gave it to Rose, I think. You know, I think it's still a little political thing. It's a favoritism thing. Look, shout out to Marina. Look, I wanted Marina to win. I picked Marina to win. So both my picks won. But I just think in this fight here, I had to be fair and say Yan Xianan won in my eyes. You know, like I said, it just comes down to what I was looking for. I thought activity, effectiveness in the second round was Yan Xianan, you know, much more consistent with her leg kick, inside leg kick, making Marina miss a lot. And even the pressure on the cage, you know, that had to count for something because the ref didn't break him. He was letting them work. So they kept going. So I just counted that as control as well. You know, now Marina did have good moments in the second round. And like I said, she closed out the third round. But I just thought it was 2-1 for Yan Xianan. Shout out to Yan Xianan, but hope she don't get discouraged from this. Shout out to Marina. Like I said, still a fan of Marina. Yeah, you know, came in picking her, you know, came in, like I said, giving her credit because she's 3-0. She's ready for that title shot. But after this fight, I was just like, oh, man, come on. Why the judges do that? Oh, man, you know. So anyways, she's getting the title shot now, pretty sure, after Carla. And it could very much well be looking like Marina could be a stand-in just in case Carla had to pull out. She might be. You never know, right? So, yeah. Moving forward from here, you know, Marina's lined up 4-0. Think she's done all she needed to do. And I don't think she needs to fight anybody else. There really is nobody else that she can fight. She's fought a lot of the second tier and third tier fighters, and everybody's already taken. So it's just a matter of waiting now, you know? So yeah, man, with that, the strawweight division, let's talk about the strawweight division here a little bit. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about flyweights. You know, the flyweight division is a great budding division right now. You know, aside from the skill gap between her, Valentina Shevchenko, her and the rest of the flyweights, there's still a lot of good flyweight fights here. You know, a lot of good matchups, a lot of good fighters on the come up. You know, even if Valentina was to retire today, I would still be watching the division because there's a lot of good talent there, right? But strawweight, to me, I just have to talk about it again because, you know, we have a lot of good fights coming up. We had a good fight this past Saturday. And when I was just, you know, looking at who's next for the title shot, I was like, man, like, there's just going to be so many arguments on who gets the title shot next. Like, everybody's licking their chops in this division. Like, Rose may be the champion, you know, two-time champion, but it's like everybody is trying to get a title shot right now. I mean, you got Marina Rodriguez, you got Carla, you got Jessica Andrade coming back down. You got Zhang-Wei Li, who's lost two times to Rose, but is still trying to get her way back to the top. Then you got Joanna coming out of left field, trying to get back into the rankings, right? Then you got Tisha Torres taking on Mackenzie Dern, who's, you know, revamped, ready to go, try to fight her way up. You got Amanda Lemos, you know, who's taking on a big fight in Andrade, who could very much well earn a reputation if she is able to finish a fighter or make a big statement against Jessica Andrade, right? So many good fighters in this division that all have kind of a leg to stand on. And that's the reason why this division is probably still one of the best and a lot of fans still like it, is because it's loaded with established fighters. Like, you just go down the list. Let me go ahead and pull up the rankings right now and we can kind of talk about it, because this division here is everybody's favorite because you have a lot of fighters that have a particular style about them, and they have a particular style about them, and they have good resumes. You know, everybody's pretty much fought everybody, you know, it's been around longer, right? I mean, if we just start from 10 up, you know, you got Lemos. You know, she's one of the older prospects, but, you know, she's got a, you know, very, very entertaining style, and, you know, she is fighting her way up that, you know, could very much, like I said, against Jessica Andrade, could very much well be in that title talk if she's just able to bag a win over somebody like that. Then, you know, you have Ebos in the division, who looks like a pretty solid, well-rounded fighter. she's bouncing back from the Rodriguez win, or at least trying to. You know, Michelle Waterson, of course, she's out. That's why she can't take her on, you know. But other than that, you know, she's still a pretty good, entertaining fighter. Then you got Tisha Torres. You know, Tisha Torres has been in the game since the birth of this division, you know, 2014. Has, you know, fought all the different styles, you know, fought multiple champions, you know. So Tisha brings a lot to the table. She's established. You know, she is kind of who she is. You know, she's in that mid part of the division where she can school these young cats, you know, or she can give a tough fight to the elite, you know, very strong, set in her ways as a, you know, good combination punch, a very fast fighter, and, you know, trying to add more to her game, you know. So there's her, you know, Mackenzie Dern, she's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu legend, you know, still needs a lot of work to do, even at number five, but she brings that wild card factor on the ground. You know, she brings the power. You know, you never know what could happen in a fight with her. If you get down to the ground, it's pretty much a wrap. You know, so she has that going for her. Like, when you think her versus some of these strikers, you think ground is Dern all day. So she has that going. Then Yan Zhanna revamped herself this past weekend. You know, got a big, strong, fast strawweight there that could give a lot of these other grapplers problems. And then, of course, you got Marina, Carla, Zhang Wei Li, all established something in their own way throughout this division, right? That's why I say it's still one of the best divisions for that. And like I said, strong arguments for title shots all around. That's why it's kind of like there's really no purpose for title eliminators with some of these fighters, because everybody's already kind of lined up and ready to do work, because they've already laid it down along the way. You know, like, first we're going to start with Carla. Carla, on her 5-fight win streak, she's next. You know, that fight still ain't finalized for whatever reason, but she's next, right? Carla's next. Then Marina, we can say, okay, what if Marina had to get up? Okay, that's fine, because she's 4-0, right? So she's next. And then you have, like I said, Jessica Andrade moving down. Jessica Andrade alone could stand on the leg that, hey, I'm 1-1 with the champion. I gave Rose a tough fight. I could argue, y'all could argue that I won it. I lost it by split decision. I beat her the first time. Hey, I could be next in line. I got a big resume to stand on. You know, I'm pound for pound one of the best. Got the most fights in the division, more than 20 fights in the UFC. A lot to stand on there for Andrade. But of course, he's taking on the number 10, Amanda Lemos. But if she goes in there and destroys her, and just reawakens, you know, that style to everybody, everybody's going to be like, oh, snap. Andrade could jump ahead of these fighters, right? So she's lined up in there. Then you got, like I said, Joanna. Joanna's still trying to carry her weight around. She's not in the division right now. She's unranked. You know, she's been removed because of, you know, her inactivity, but she wants to come back and fight Zhang Wei Li in a rematch, possibly. You know, she's still kind of holding out. Like, I want to come back in April, come back in May. But Zhang Wei Li is not ready till July or August. So same with her. She tries to get in there and fight Zhang Wei Li. She's going to be like, hey, I beat number one contender. I'm a long reigning champion. You know, I've done a lot for this division. Give me the title shot. So politically, she could very much well also be lined up next or jump ahead. You never know how this game works, but they all have some type of argument, right? Then you got Mackenzie Dern versus Tisha Torres. You know, that's going to fall somewhere in there, because Tisha, you know, been in this game a minute. Dern, she holds number 5. Let's say Dern beats a veteran in Tisha. She'll be like, hey, maybe I need a title. Y'all need to get me into a title eliminator next. Or she might try to argue for a title shot somewhere. But she might need to get a title eliminator. Like, whoever wins between Dern and Torres, they need one more fight before they try to jump in there, because there's enough fighters already ahead. So, yeah, man, strawweight, you know, is one of the divisions that has so much going on. But like I said, there is no bad fight you really have to reach. That's why I asked y'all the other night, like, nobody could come up with an answer. Like, there really is no bad fight, even amongst the inactive fighters. Like, when you threw Dern in there with Nina Azarov, you know, saw how that ended. It was a good fight. You know, it was a good win for Dern. If anything, the lesser fights would probably include like Nina Azarov, just because she ain't around, right? You know, like, you would have to match her up to make everything a bad fight. Because even Bernard Jandiroba was a good fight, with any of these fighters. Angela Hill's a good fight with any of these fighters, you know? So much going on, but when it all comes down to it, you know, Carla, we're just waiting on that. We're waiting on that fight to be made. Nama Yunus versus Esparza. That's the one that really makes sense now. Maybe she's waiting for that cut to heal up or something that happened in the grappling tournament. You know, so we'll see where it goes from here, man. What else? So, yeah, with her lined up, Marina should be next. That's my assessment of how I see it. Carla, Marina, winner of Andrade Lemos, possibly. You know, and then from there it can go whatever. You know, Joanna, Wei Li fight again. And that could decide something. But even then, it's like Andrade versus the number 10 in Lemos. Let's say Lemos beats Andrade. She'll probably have to get another fight in there because she'll have to wait behind Carla and Marina. So she might be fighting like the winner of Dern Torres next. Lemos, that is. Like Lemos might fight the winner of Dern Torres if she beats Andrade. Or the winner of Andrade, Lemos fights the winner of Dern Torres. You know, that could be a thing. So yeah, it's like a strawweight tournament going on right now. But like I said, everybody pretty much has kind of an argument to make on why they deserve a fight against the champion. See, whereas in, you know, the flyweight division, it's still hard to say, like, there's still a lot of like fighters that don't jump at the opportunity to fight Valentina. Like even the ones that are veterans and the ones that are like 30 somethings, they're not like jumping right at it. Right. And to me, they don't show the same type of skill set like the Joannas and the Andrades and the Carlas and the Wei Lees, right? And the Marinas. Like everybody in there, again, they have done something, gone on like a fight, three, four, five fight win streak, something like that. Whereas flyweight is still like, okay, this person doesn't seem ready, or they're pumping the brakes themselves because they're not ready. But you could actually line up four or five fighters for Rose Namajunas that are title shot ready right now. That's how I see it. You know, agree or disagree, but there's at least three to four title shot ready fighters right now. They just have to get in line. There really is no more title elimination for some of these strawweights. They're good to go. But, you know, when you look at the flyweight division, we still have to kind of wait. Like, Shevchenko already defeated the first four, you know, one through four in her ranking. So we're going to Taylor now, right? But after Taylor, who is there that's legit, solidified, and ready? Nobody, right? Of course, Manon is fighting Jennifer Maya, and that'll put her in there. She's the next closest thing. So you really only have two. And their rankings are so far apart. Like Taylor's number 5, Manon is number 13, right? So it's really just those two that feel like they are ready. And, you know, going by the eye test, look like they are ready. Whereas again, strawweight, I'm not mad if Andrade gets it, if she was to beat Lemos. Definitely not mad Marina gets it. Carla's next. Torres versus Dern, why not? You know, the winner of that fight, why not? So yeah, man, what do y'all think in the comment section? You know, the strawweight division is definitely still thriving above the rest. I just wish they would do something with a featherweight division or atomweight division, because not every lady can make strawweight. Not every lady can make flyweight. And we got to do something about the bantamweights, man. And before I go, yeah, you know, I definitely got to talk featherweight and bantamweight. Come on, you got perfectly good bantamweights and featherweights right here. Two that need to be signed. Featherweight, you got, come on. You got so many fighters. Bantamweight, you know you need to sign Tanisha Tennant. Come on. Tanisha Tennant's the same age as Manon. Also got the same high elite skill as Manon. You know, that's why I've been saying, okay, I ride with Manon, but her skill set is on point. It's dominant. But I've been saying the same thing about Tanisha Tennant. Why is she not there? You know, why is she not in the division? Then you got featherweights. You got Chelsea Chandler out here. Why are you not signing these fighters? Chelsea, she wants it. Go ahead and get them in there. These fighters want it. All right. So, yeah, Invicta FC. Let's jump to that real quick. Invicta FC 46 is tonight. Excuse me, not tonight. I'm recording this episode on Tuesday. Maybe by the time I put it up, it'll be tonight, which is tomorrow, Wednesday. But yeah, March 9th, we got Invicta FC 43 going down. And as y'all know, Karina Rodriguez is actually taking on Diana Tocato again in a rematch because her original opponent had to pull out. Who was her original opponent again? What is her name? Ketlyn Souza. Ketlyn Souza was supposed to be fighting Karina Rodriguez, but had to withdraw undisclosed reasons. So Diana Tocato was stepping in for that title shot once again. Diana Tocato, man, she's solid. She gave Karina a good fight last time. I had Karina win it like 3-2. It was a banger, you know? Very good fight last time. It was back in, what, May of last year? Yeah, it was a good fight. Good fight all around. So let's see what the champ can do. Can she defend her belt? Maybe if she does, that'll get her a spot in the UFC, you know, because Karina's another one. You know, you got Tanisha, Chelsea, Karina. I remember Vanessa Porter was one I wanted to see make her way into the UFC at one point. But yeah, let's see the updated card for Invicta FC 46. We got kicking it off, a strawweight fight between Fatima Klein, very good grappler, versus Nadia Vera. Atom weights, you got Paulina Granados versus Monique Adrian. Flyweight, you got Christina Williams versus Florhani. Shout out to Florhani. Strawweight, you got Danielle Taylor versus Liz Tracy. Flyweights, Milana Dudieva. Y'all remember her versus Denise Gomez. Then, of course, you got the title fight, Karina Rodriguez versus Diana Tocato. So, yeah, man, good card. It's going to be on the YouTube channel for Invicta FC. And it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time. All right. All right. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I had on this episode, man. Just kind of wanted to go back and, you know, put this show out, you know, on iTunes and everything. You know, some of the stuff I talked about in the live stream, but just wanted to clean it up a little bit for y'all, you know, as far as like the strawweight division topic, you know, because that's the, you know, like I said, that was just something I've been wanting to talk about because, you know, I know I talk about the flyweights, but yeah, you know, I got to shed some light on some of these divisions for a minute because who else is, right? Who else is really going to do that? Because, you know, we don't have a lot of channels out there that cover WMMA out there like that, you know, so yeah, that's why I do got to talk about it. But yeah, strawweights is looking good. I mean, we got, Cynthia Calvillo coming back down. No, like I said, Cynthia Calvillo's coming back down to 115 to fight Brianna Van Buren in June. Brianna Fortino, they just changed it on the rankings. Yeah, because you know she got married and she has a kid now. So she's making her comeback after about 2 years off. Cynthia Calvillo's coming back after, you know, not the best run at flyweight. What was she at flyweight? 1-2? She beat Jessica Ai, lost to Chikagan and Andrade. Then she lost to Andrea Lee. Yeah, she's like 1-3 at flyweight. So, yeah, it was a bad run. Bad run. So, yeah, she got to go back down. And that's what I was saying about Calvillo. It's time to go back down because, you know, she's about 5'4", but she's just not really like thick frame like some of these other flyweights. You know, Erin Blanchfield to me, you know, she's kind of a thicker frame flyweight. Miranda is as well. Casey O'Neill, you know, they have the frames. Alexa Grasso does too. They have the frame for flyweight. But fighters like Cynthia Calvillo and Kay Hansen, I don't think they're big enough for that division. They're not powerful enough and they're not strong enough. Like, you know, Cynthia Calvillo really had trouble even with like Andrea Lee. You know, Andrea Lee is a little bit slimmer, but she still got the muscle. Like, you just look at the frames. Like, you look at a fighter's frame and how much mass they have, like Andrea Lee and Marina Rodriguez. Marina Rodriguez is very thin. So yeah, she's a strawweight. But then you look at Andrea Lee, she has some muscle to her, you know? So that's the weight she needs to be at. Viviana Rujo, big, you know? Taylor Santos, big. Maya, big. Caitlin Jacquet, you know, very tall and long, you know, has some weight to her. The fought at 135. You know, she's 5'9". You know, so these are big fighters. Andrade is big, you know, but she's moving back down to 115 because she can kind of do that just with off of her frame. But yeah, Cavillo, to me, her frame just doesn't fit the 125-pound frame, you know, division. So I think she's doing herself justice, you know, wise decision to move back down. But yeah, man, what else? That's pretty much all I have for this episode, yo. Yeah, pretty much. You know, I'll just come back with another one if there's anything else we want to talk about. And like I said, the strawweight division was really my main focus here today. Final thoughts for this episode. Rodriguez, I can say, you know, it was a competitive fight and clear-cut robbery. You know, I do stand by what I say when I say, you know, a close fight is not a robbery. But in my eyes, I didn't think this was a close fight. But the more and more I can kind of see different perspectives, I can say, okay, if the key word here was steal around, which we've seen that in the past in boxing or what have you, you know, if the key word is steal, that mean that person did enough in that moment to steal around, then okay, like it can't be a complete robbery because it was still close, because it still comes down to the person that, in the lead to keep that lead and build off of that lead or stop your opponent. Right. So I'm very careful with the word robbery, but moving forward, you know, Marina, she got her title shot. That's cool. You know, I want to see what next level she can really show moving forward, because the striker still gave her some trouble in this fight. Agapova, you know, she'll be back in the game. You know, I think she just needs to work on a lot of different things as far as her focus. I want to see Marina Moro versus Casey O'Neill. I want to see that fight. And yeah, strawweights, you know, this is like part one. We'll come back and discuss it again as, you know, some other changes happen. Definitely got to do a breakdown of Dern Torres when that happens, man. And, you know, I'm still waiting on this announcement for Rose versus Carla too. You know, I think we all are. Still got to break down Lemos and Andrade, you know, that's a 5-round main event. So it's going down. So yeah, man, like always, make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. Subscribe to the show, hashtag CB99Talks on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Tuned In, all of those, because that's where I post the show first, you know, and if I get to it later on the YouTube channel, I will. But if you want to go ahead and catch it, you know, that's where it is. So yeah, man, I think that is about it, because fight week is here. Yeah, well, you know what? Also, before we go, just to fill y'all into, almost forgot. It is fight week, right? We got a couple of flyweight fights. Got JJ Aldridge, Jillian Robertson, and we got Sabina Mazo versus Miranda Maverick, which is really a must win for both of these fighters, because Mazo and Maverick are both on 2-fight losing streaks. And, you know, you have Jillian Robertson over here trying to break into the top 15. So it's been a must win for a lot of these fighters. They got to make statements because flyweight division is picking up, you know. So yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. I just wanted to remind y'all about fights. I'm going to break them down in the live stream and give you my picks on them anyway. But yeah, definitely check those fights out this weekend. You know, I think JJ Aldridge versus Jillian Robertson is going to be a good style clash. You know, it might be striker versus grappler, or wrestler versus grappler in this case. You know, we'll see if JJ Aldridge can switch levels and show her well-roundedness. Like, I think she does a little bit of everything, but I think Jillian Robertson does that one thing well that could just straight up change the fight and tear everything apart with JJ Aldridge. You know, that's how I look at it early. Like, it could just shut everything down because she does that one thing that well. Then you got Mazo Maverick. I think Mazo is going to play striker here and try to look to finish Maverick. So Maverick has to close distance and be a wrestler here. Don't spend your time on the outside because those head kicks are lethal. You know, Maverick has got to get on the inside and make this a ground fight all day, every day. Just like Alexis Davis did. Take this fight to the ground. Don't give the long fighter any space, just like Moreau did, right? So, yeah, those fights going down, y'all. Definitely looking forward to them. We'll talk about them more. But, yeah, guys, I'm out of here. Combo Breaker 99. Make sure y'all subscribe. Peace.